All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of the Psalms, and specifically to Psalm 1. The first Psalm. Psalm 1. All right, look please, if you will, at verse 1. These are some familiar verses, I hope, to all of us. But let me read just a few verses here. And I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, how to be happy in a troubled world. How to be happy in a troubled world. And boy, our world certainly is troubled. But we can be happy in the Lord. Amen. All right, so look at verse 1. It says, blessed. And by the way, that word blessed literally means happy. All right, to be happy. That's the word. So if it is in the Bible, now we don't use it in that way now, but back in the 1600s, when they started translating the Bible, they used the word blessed because it was a great Bible word, and they used it to imply happiness, and that's the root from which the word comes, and it's an important, powerful word in your Bible. But when it says blessed or blessed, that is saying to you happy, full of rejoicing, full of joy, is the man. Now, let's look at what David says makes the man happy or makes him blessed. If you'll look at the rest of that first verse, it says blessed is. Now notice that. It doesn't say was or will be or might be. No, the word is pretty emphatic here. Blessed is the man. And that is generic, so it means women as well. All right, so not only men can be happy, but ladies can be happy as well. So blessed is the human being, if you will, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. All right, so if you want to be happy, don't yoke yourself up. Don't hang around. Don't walk with the ungodly. That just stands to reason, doesn't it? One would think. All right, second thing. Nor standeth, in other words, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't stand in the way of sinners. You know, sinners, unsaved folks, they just have a certain position. They just have a certain way about them. And David says, don't hang around. Don't get in with them. Don't get in there. You're going to get messed up if you do. So blessed is first the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then secondly, the man is going to be blessed if he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. And then thirdly, a man is going to be blessed if he is not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, what is a scornful person? What is a scornful person? Well, I did some checking on this, and basically here is... let me illustrate it for you, and you'll get the picture of what a scornful person is. All right? A scornful person says, I know what the Word of God says. I know what it says, but I don't care. That's a scornful person. That is somebody who just literally shakes their fist in the face of God. And that's a scornful individual. They don't care. And man, do we live in a world that does just that. They shake their fist in the face of God, and they don't care what God has to say. Folks, I hope you understand that the Bible is very clear. It is appointed unto man once to die, comma, and then the judgment. Amen. Men are going to have to stand before God Almighty. And so they better start caring, because God is serious in this matter of a relationship with him. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, that's verse 1, and those are negatively the way that David presents how to be a blessed man. Negatively. Then look at verse 2, and you will see that he then turns around and positively presents how to be a blessed, happy individual. In verse 2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? The Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there's the positive side. Now, this morning, I want to preach to you on these three things that David says in verse 1. Now, they are presented in a negative way, but I'm going to turn them into the positive and emphasize the three things that David says here about how to be happy in a troubled world. All right, let's pray together, and we'll ask the Lord to help us. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you now for our time together this morning around your word. And I pray that you will bless and help me as I speak. I pray you also bless our folks as they listen. And Father, we pray for those who are coming to church with us this morning on the live stream. And Father, for those who will listen later on, I pray that you'll just bless the word of God to our hearts. Father, your word will make a difference in our lives if we will heed your word. And so I pray that you will help us to listen and get a little glimpse on how to be happy in this old troubled world in which we live. Bless us now, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we seem to be living in a world today where actually there is very little happiness. More folks today suffer from discouragement and from ulcers and from depression and from anxiety and a multitude of other things that will rise up in our lives in order to rob us of the happiness that God says is available to his people. Wouldn't you love to just be happy all the time? Wouldn't that be wonderful? How many of you like to be happy all the time? Just live, well, forget it. That's not going to happen. All right, I'm sorry. But it would be nice, though, wouldn't it? But it's just not going to happen. But I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of how to be happy in a troubled world. And folks, for sure, our world today is about as troubled as it has ever been in any other time in history. The election that we are having on November the 3rd has the entire country on edge. You got one side saying, if we don't win, we're going to burn it down. You got the other side saying that if we don't win, it's rigged.
That's what I believe. I don't understand this election process. I just don't get it. Will our cities be standing when the votes are all counted? That's the question. Then there is this whole COVID-19 virus thing that we are dealing with on a daily basis. Now, this is something that just amazes me. Some of the most brilliant minds in the free market are working day and night without too many restrictions, and they're trying to find a vaccine for this virus. And yet, have you ever heard of political parties getting or using the work of the scientific world? Have you ever heard of the political parties using that as a political weapon? I never have. I mean, I certainly don't remember when I was a kid and we had to go get the polio shots. I don't remember politics being connected to that. What I remember being connected with that is these little kids were getting polio and it was crippling them in a devastating way, and everybody wanted to get a vaccine for it. And yet, here we are in the midst of this election cycle, and we've got the radicals politicizing the vaccine, and they're saying that if these research companies that are working on it, if these drug manufacturing companies come up with a vaccine under Donald Trump in office, then they are not going to take it, and they are not going to allow their families to take it. And I'm just sitting here going, what? Seriously? I mean, everything has been politicized in our world today. Everything. And I started listening. What are they saying? Well, what they're saying is that Donald Trump somehow is going to manipulate the vaccine to kill Democrats. No, now, come on. Now, Steve, you really didn't mean that. He didn't mean that. He really, on the internet, he did not mean that. He was joking. Right? I mean, come on, folks. We got to politicize everything. I mean, they've already said that the virus was Trump's fault. How could that be? Was he working in a little lab down in the White House somewhere and then went out to Washington and turned his virus loose? I don't think so. I don't think that's what happened. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that China was responsible for this. But nonetheless, everything has to be put in political categories. And so now, somehow, the virus is Trump's fault, and every person who has died from the virus, that's Trump's fault. Everybody who's gotten the virus, that's Trump's fault. And now the vaccine, that's going to kill Democrats, and so that's Trump's fault. I don't get it. I mean, it's no wonder our nation is having all the emotional and physical problems as a result of our emotions being so out of whack. I mean, it's no wonder that we're in the shape we're in as a nation. You know, the thing I worry about is just how crazy everybody has become. I don't know if that bothers you, but that bothers me. Up in New Hampshire, I saw a story this week. There are folks in New Hampshire who have Trump signs and banners on their porches, and they have received letters this week from domestic terrorists, that's what they are, who have said in their letters, unsigned of course, that they were going to burn their houses down if Biden wins the election, and yet somehow Donald Trump refuses to leave the White House. Good. What? Does that make sense to anybody? Folks, listen, I think our country has lost its very soul. I really do. I think we have absolutely gone crazy in this country. And with all this stuff going on, you know, it's no wonder there is so little happiness in our world today. But it's everywhere you look. Now, again, look at verse 1. In verse 1, it says, blessed. And as I told you a moment ago, this word basically, if you look at this word and study it, now I'm not going to go into all the details with you about it because I'm not sure I understood all the details myself, but basically what I read was that this word blessed, if it was literally translated, would mean spiritual prosperity. It comes from the word, or from the root word that has to do with spiritual prosperity. And it has the idea of simply being filled with happiness. When David says, blessed is the man, basically what he is saying here is happy is the man. Now, that is an important Bible word. To be blessed is to be a happy person. It has to do with the fact that you are spiritually prospering in your relationship with the Lord. So this first psalm, the very first verse that opens the hymn book of the Bible, which is the book of Psalms, and it tells us how we can be happy. This psalm, in both a negative and then a positive manner, tells us what to do and what not to do if we want to be happy. And this first verse is given to us in a negative way, and it tells us that there are three things that we must not do if we hope to expect to be happy in our lives. Now let's look at them this morning. First of all, I want you to look at the little phrase, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I'm going to label this statement, number one, that we are not to walk in the ungodly counsel. Now, what's the ungodly counsel? The very first advantage given to us by King David says that we are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, folks, the world's counsel is unholy. It's unholy. And if we listen to the counsel that the world gives us, it will not make us happy. It will not make us a blessed people, but it will instead make us an unhappy people. It will destroy happiness in our lives. And please realize that the world has more than ample counsel, and it is more than willing to dole out that counsel to anyone who will listen. There are so many times that we are given counsel by the world, and we do not even realize that counsel is being given to us. But that's true, folks. Now, how have we gotten to where we are in our society today that some professor can stand up and say that the Bible is wrong and God did not create the heaven and the earth, but instead this world evolved from a big bang that happened all those years ago out in space. And then eventually the world evolved until eventually man evolved. And now here we are in 2020, and we have all of these great advances in our society that we have made. Aren't we something special? Well, the answer is no, we're not. No, we didn't do this. You know? Like Obama said, we didn't do this. They want to take credit for it. They want to take credit for it. Man wants to take credit for it. Wait a minute, you didn't do this. God did this. And you know, you would think that when the first person stood up and said that we evolved from monkeys, from apes, You would think that somebody would have stood up and said, whoa, 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 what? No, sit down. You don't know what you're talking. You're nuts. You would have thought that somebody would have stood up. But now, after a hundred and some years after Darwin, 100 and some years after Charles Darwin, you've got a society that has been bombasted with this stuff and told over and over and over, and today we just sit and take it. Shame on us. But that's how we get conditioned, folks. And they have done the same thing with abortion. They have done the same thing with the Bible. They have done the same thing with God in our schools. They have done the same thing with God in our government. And we've kicked God out of everything, and Christians just stand there with their hands folded and say, oh, well, here we are. Well, you know, these are evil times. Shame on us, folks. Shame on us. We need to be careful with the world's counsel. That's my point. We need to be careful. It will often lead into more trouble and less happiness than we were in prior to being given their advice. I don't know. I didn't check the paper, but I don't know if Ann Landers is still in there. I don't know. I mean, if she is, I don't read it. And I've never, what was that other one? Dear Abby? Dear Gabby? What was that? Dear Gabby. Dear Gabby, I thought, yeah. Is this still in there? I don't know. I don't need their advice. I don't need that. I don't think you do either. Hey, let me just also say, you don't need Oprah's advice either. I mean, if I'm going to split my britches, I may just go ahead and split them real good, you know? You don't need Oprah's advice. She can't help you out. She can't help herself out. So how can she help you? You're welcome. You know, back when folks read the newspaper, I don't even know if this is still in there. I haven't looked. But the horoscopes, you know, the zodiac thing.
Still in the Times.
And is it? Somebody will ask me, they'll say, my horoscope said, your what? Seriously, you have stock in that? You put faith in that? Why don't you put faith in something that's going to last? I mean, God put the stars up there and God arranged them like he did so that man could look up and see his glory, so that man could look up and say, wow, somebody greater than me has made this. That's the whole point. And then God put them up there, and we can look at them, and smart people can say, well, now we need to plant our fields. Now we need to harvest our fields. I mean, it's up there for a reason. It's up there for signs, but it's not up there for you to read some twisted insight into that is designed by the world. We don't need that. I got the Bible that will direct my day. I don't need the horoscope to direct my day. I don't pick up the paper every morning and turn to see how my day is going to turn out. No, sir. No, sir. You see, the advice that is given to men is seldom, if ever, from the world in accordance with God's word. And the ungodly counsel normally does not include the word of God. Usually, it is counsel that opposes the word of God. I've had folks come to me through the years and they have said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this one. And I'm to the place where nothing shocks me anymore. And I say, oh yeah, what is it? Well, my doctor says if I want to feel better, that I should drink a glass of wine every evening to help my stomach. And I say, oh really? Yeah, yeah. You know, even though, now listen, that's what the doctor says. But what's God say? God says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And God talks about the person that takes alcohol as being a fool. You're not wise when you do that. You're being a fool when you do that. And so I've had some folks say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm not about to do that. And then I've had others that said, I'm going to try it and see how it works. Church members. I'm telling you, folks, don't listen to the world. You're going to get in trouble now. You're going to get in trouble. The world says, God says, don't. The world says, do. And so the question is, whose counsel are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to God or are you going to listen to the world? My text says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, Christian, if you want true happiness in your life, do not listen to the world's advice when it comes to character. The world is always going to give you the wrong advice and the wrong counsel. Every time. It's just way up. They don't know any better. They just don't know any better. Folks, listen, I've been in the ministry for a long time, and it has always been my observation that worldly advice will not bring you happiness, but will instead bring regrets and sorrow. Not to mention, in many cases, it's going to deplete your wallet as well. I don't know if you folks realize this. I'm really going to get in trouble now. I don't know if you folks realize this, but gambling is not designed for you to win. All right? I don't know if you've thought that through, but it's not designed for you to win. When I pastored down in West Virginia, there was a dog track right where folks used to go and sit in a big glass encased room so they could watch the dogs. And they would bet, they would place bets, they'd sit and drink and eat, but mainly drink, and they would bet on which dog would run the fastest after that little bunny rabbit that was on a stick. All right, they had a little bunny rabbit on a stick, and that stick went around the track. There was a guy up there with joysticks, and he ran the bunny at how fast it went around the track. And then they would raise the gates and the dogs would take off after that little bunny that was on the stick. And so they would sit and they would bet money on those dogs. And one day, a member of my church came up to me in the foyer of the church. And he said, "Pastor, my therapist said that I should go to the dog track and bet on the dogs as a form of relaxation." I said, "Did he now?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Please tell me you're not going to do that." And he grinned from ear to ear and said, "Oh, no, I would never do that, Pastor." I went, "Phew." But I said, "If you change your mind and you go over there, take pictures of all the other church members that are there, would you please?" Now, you laugh, but Karen will vouch for this. When this Ruby Tuesdays was open, when it first opened, we went over there a lot after church, mainly because it was the only thing open. But we would go over there sometimes after church, and a bunch of folks, a bunch of us would go, and we'd walk in, and as we walk in, I'd tell Karen, I'd say, "Look over at the bar and make sure there's no church members there." You say, "Why would you do that?" "Because I've walked in and seen church members sitting at the bar. That's why." Amen. All right, number two, I got to hurry. Don't listen to the world, folks. That's my point. Listen to God. You want to be happy? Listen to God. You want to be happy? Listen to the Word of God. You want to be happy? Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Follow the counsel of the Holy Spirit, not the world. Number two. Second, we are to guard against ungodly conduct. That's what the second part of this says. Look at it. It says, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Now, this is an interesting little phrase that David makes here. How to be happy in a troubled world? Well, secondly, how about being real careful about ungodly conduct? So just what exactly does this statement mean? Well, simply put, this means to not do as the world does, as the unsaved world does. David says, if you want to be happy, don't act like the unsaved sinners around you. Don't act like the world. You are saved now. And as a saved, born again individual, you should not act the same way you did before you got saved. I remember years ago, right after I got saved, it was like just a few days after I got saved, something happened, and in my mind, I let out a curse word. I let out an oath. Now, I'm doing real good with that now, folks. I just want all of y'all to understand that. All right, it's been days since I've said, no. No, I'm kidding. Come on now. I'm just trying to wake you up. I'm just joking. Send all cards and letters to Pastor Brian Young, all right? I'm joking. But when I did that, just a couple days after I got saved, oh, it felt bad. I felt so awful. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, "Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from?" You know where it came from? Back before I was saved. And oh, I got under conviction about that. Immediately just said, "God, please forgive me for that. Take away that impulse to say what I shouldn't say." You want to be happy? Don't act like you acted before you got saved. You're saved now. You are a born-again believer now. And you should not act the way you acted before you got saved. Again, folks, the world has their standards, and they are certainly not God's standards. whole different set of guidelines that the world goes by than what the Christian should go by. I mean, you know, our world today has standards set that are so immoral and so corrupted and so defiled, and this behavior by the world is so blatantly displayed, it is almost like there's no shame in our world anymore. I mean, people do terrible things and there's no shame about it. Oh, God help us, folks. God help us. But that's our world we live in, isn't it? I don't know how you feel about it, but when I think about how the world, or about when the world looks at a Christian, I don't think the world looks at us and wants to see themselves. Huh? What do you think about that? When the world looks at a Christian, I don't think the world wants to see itself. But so many times, that's what the world sees. The world said, well, you don't have anything that I don't have. I mean, you act just like me. No, we ought to act like Jesus. We should not let the world's standard and then just go back two steps from where the world is. No, we ought to have the Lord Jesus as our standard, not the world. When a believer acts just like the world, you can be assured, folks, the world is not impressed. And David said, if you want to be happy, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't act like them. You certainly don't want to give the world the testimony that your salvation, your relationship with God is no different than them not having any relationship with God. Folks, please understand the process that I'm about to give you here. I want y'all to think about this. I wish I could just stay right here and hammer this home. Listen carefully. I'm so sick of political correctness, aren't you?
Yes.
So sick of it. I'm so sick of it ruling everything we think and everything we do. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Now listen. Political correctness, and I'm going to take it one step further, cultural correctness. Yes. Not only political correctness, but cultural correctness. They are only clever terms for worldly conduct.
Yes.
Now write that down and think about it. Political correctness and cultural correctness are only clever terms for worldly conduct. And this conduct is certainly not advocated in the Bible. It should not matter to you for a second how the world believes that the believer ought to behave. Shouldn't matter to you at all. What should matter to you is what does God say I'm supposed to behave? You see, the key, I think what David is saying here is the key to happiness is holiness.
Amen.
Holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, God said. There's no doubt that the world is becoming more wicked by the day. The world is not evolving. We're not getting better. The world is devoluting, or devoluting, if you will. We're not getting better. Our world's getting worse. All right? Then number three, I gotta finish here. Number three, we are to guard against, number three, ungodly companions. Look at the last part of this verse. It says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Isn't it interesting that David used the words like that? Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, The last thing that David says here is, don't hang out with the scorners. Don't hang out with them. They're going to rub off on you. Now, at least two things are said about these scorners here. First, we see the character of the scorner. The little word seat. Note that word, folks. That little word seat indicates a point that I really need you to see and understand. It indicates that most scorners, for some reason, often have high and respected positions. You know, just think about it. You got a bunch of socialist politicians that want to regulate everything you and I do. Everything we do. Their whole goal is centralized government. And the reason they want centralized government is so they then can put their restrictions and tell us what we should do, what we should drive, what we should eat, what we should drink, what we should, our homes, what kind of heat we can have in our homes, what kind, you know, all this stuff. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would just prefer they stay out of my life.
Amen.
Now, that's just me, but I have a good suspicion. There's a lot of folks feel like I do in this matter. You know, the county, you know, they're trying to get in our school. And I said, no.
Amen.
No. And but we need to check. We need to check on your school. And I said, this is private property. Y'all stay off.
Amen.
Stay out. But we need to check on you. We're doing good. Thank you. No, I'm not letting them in. Now, I may end up down to county jail. Now, if I do, y'all got to set up a march. Come down blowing trumpets and march around the jail 7 times. And then blow the trumpet on the 7th time around, all right? Yeah, the shofar. Who's got a shofar? There you go, Ron. I bet you can hammer on that thing too, can't you? Ron's a trumpet player. But I'm not going to open the door and say, hey, come on in. My goodness, we'd be shut down in an hour. You say, well, are you in violation? No, but they'd find something. You know? You remember that guy that had, Lord was talking about judging, and he said you're out there looking for a little speck in your brother's eye. But you can't see the speck that's in your brother's eye because you've got a 2x4 hanging out your own eye. You know? You're down there saying, let me see that speck. You got something in your eye. Let me see that. And he's opening it up and bang, bang. He's beating you to death with the 2x4 that's hanging out his own eye. Well, how'd that guy know that he had a speck in his eye? How'd he know that? I'll tell you how he knew. He was looking for it. And if they come in here and start looking, well, I don't want that. Well, we have decided. No, you don't have any say in this. This is something God called us to do. We didn't get your permission to do this, and we're not asking for your permission now. So, bye-bye. Amen. So if I end up in jail, y'all help me now. All right? The third thing here, don't hang around with the ungodly. Don't hang around them because they're going to drag you down. Mark it. They're going to drag you down. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher over in London back in the mid-1800s, he said of this verse, the seat of the scornful may be very lofty, but it's near the gates of hell. And that's true. That's so true. Somebody sits around and says, I know what's best for you. Oh, you're a scornful soul. Scornful soul. A scornful person sets himself on his own seat and then spews his or her scorn down on those hanging around him. You see, the scorner never brings happiness to those around them. They are scorning everything around them and trying to get you to see the same things that they're seeing. That's the way of the scorner. That's his character. Then secondly, see the company of the scorner. Notice the word sitteth. Sitteth. You see, when you sit with someone, you're keeping company with them. And you got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Brennan, can you come up here and help me for a minute? Hurry up. This is my grandson, Brennan. And he's going to kill me after a while. All right, buddy, stand up here on this chair. Just stand up there. Get up there. All right, now, I'm going to show you. Turn around, face me. I'm going to show you how this principle. Don't ever forget this. All you young people, don't you ever forget this. All right? Now, I'm going to have him pull me up to where he is. Hello? All right, you ready? Pull me up. Not going to work, is it? Try it this way. No. That's not going to work, is it? All right? But watch here. Give me a hand. Do you see how easy that was? Go ahead, buddy. Do you see how easy that was? Oh, it's real easy for me to pull him down where I am. It was real hard for him to pull me up where he is. And that's what the world is going to do. You go and sit down with them, you're going to become like them. They're going to rub off on you. Instead of thinking like God thinks, you're going to start thinking like the world thinks. That's why you can come in here to church and I can stand up here and say that homosexuality is an abomination to God. Amen. That's right. But you see, we've been so programmed through the years that it's an alternate lifestyle. No, it's sin. If you go by what God says, it's sin. But we have been so programmed that when I say that, especially someone who is not educated in the Bible, I'm trying to be nice, but somebody who is not trained in the authority of the Bible, which the majority of our world today is not. That's why they can say, oh, we're not using this King James Bible anymore. That's so archaic. We're going to get us a new Bible. Well, their new Bible probably doesn't say that homosexuality is an abomination. But God does.
That's right.
The Bible does. The true Bible does. And so I'll say something like that. Somebody who is not mature in the Lord, they're sitting out here or they're listening on the air and they go, oh my, I can't believe he said that. You know, 25 years ago, 40 years ago, oh, it was no problem at all. You could say that and everybody in the church would say, amen. Nowadays, you say it, oh, we're going to lose our tax exempt status. Mercy. Folks, you see what I'm saying here? Be careful who you hang with. Be careful. Unholy companions will have a bad influence on you. That's just life. That's the way it is. I heard about a fellow that lived down south, way down south, and he loved canaries. And he had a bunch, he had a cage full of canaries out on his porch. And all of a sudden, his canaries quit singing. They just didn't sing anymore. They made this awful grunting sound. And he thought, what in the world has happened to my canaries? And he walked over to the cage and was looking to see if he could notice anything that was wrong. And as he was looking at his canaries, he heard this chirping sound above him. And he leaned out over the porch and looked up, and there was a nest of starlings. And those starlings were being imitated by the canaries. They lost their song because they were hanging with and listening to the starlings. Be careful, Christian. You see, you want your light to shine. Amen. And that'll make you happy. Because you'll be blessed of God, happy in God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you now for our time together this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. This is an amazing book that you give us. And Father, we're thankful that we have instruction here on how to be a blessed person. And Father, I think everybody in here wants your blessing upon them. But Father, it's incumbent upon us following certain principles. And so I pray that you will help us to take these things that David says here and apply them and use them. And Father, just help us to seek you first, and happiness will come. So Father, bless the Word of God. I pray if there is someone in this room this morning or someone listening this morning who does not know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day that they put their faith and trust in you. So, Father, bless, we ask now, in Christ's name, amen.